Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Ooh, amen, amen, and glory to God. It's Tuesday night. That means ABCs of Apostleship, where we are discipling apostolic Christians. And I've got to tell you, we're growing. It's catching on. We started out with a pretty good boom, but we are catching on. Everywhere I go, people are telling me about how God is talking to them about being apostolic Christians. They're sharing the experience. They're sharing their rediscovery of God. I mean, we get some amazing testimonies and amazing letters from those of you who have taken God at his word and realized that we are indeed discipling apostolic Christians. I want to tell you why we're doing that in a moment, but let me begin by saying, hello, Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Facebook and Periscope. I so enjoy you all. I know you know it. And thank you all for joining me, and those of you who joined me in, ooh, hallelujah, Connecticut and Chicago, Joliet. I mean, but recently my Connecticut, My Connecticut crew, I thank you all. It was a pleasure meeting you. I enjoyed signing your books. I think the most hilarious part, Ashley, is when they bring me the book, it's all beat up, dog tail, water, juice, everything, coffee on it. And they want me to sign it. And you know what? I signed it happily because that means they used it. That means that it wasn't just sitting on the shelf somewhere. I enjoyed it. So I'm grateful to all of you for coming and for your support. And, I mean, several of you were quite generous, and I thank God for that. And you get a chance to get on the train with me again because we are going to Jacksonville, Florida. Tomorrow I leave Tulsa. Had one day's rest. Enjoyed it, didn't waste it, hallelujah, and we are going to Jacksonville, Florida, where we're taking prophetic ed to the prophetic convocation. I'm going to get it right, you know, prophetic ed, prophetic convocation, okay, so I am smart enough to do this. We're taking prophetic ed to the prophetic convocation with Apostle Dwan Holmes Robinson, my colleague, a peer, and right now a collaborator in what we're doing in the prophetic. I want you all to go to my website, get all the information you can. I know several of you have told me you're going to meet me there. If you're from Facebook, Periscope, or Blog Talk, I want to meet you. Now, let me tell you a secret. I have a pretty good memory. Most people will tell you that. And I scroll my gifts, followers. Mm-hmm. I scroll my likes, and I scroll my followers, which is why I remember some of your faces when you showed up. I said, yeah, I remember you. Or I remember you. Or I saw you, especially when you all have real current pictures, you know. And so some of you all, I had an opportunity to see you. It was wonderful to read your posts over the last few months and so for some of you the last year and then get an opportunity to meet you. So if you're from Periscope, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, LinkedIn, I want to meet you. YouTube, I want to meet you because you're a different family. You're that faceless family that I love. It's kind of like Paul said, I long to see you, you know, in person or in the faith because he had been ministering to them and he's been seeing them in the spirit and he's been witnessing them and praying with them and interceding and even meeting them in the spirit. But it was a pleasure for him to say, you know, I want to see you face to face. So if you're there, I want to see you and I want to say hello. And just know that we're building apostolic Christians everywhere we go, and we're gathering. That's exciting. Isn't that exciting, Ashley?
Yes, it is.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Oh, what I love this year, too, is how many people are like repeat shoppers. They just show up everywhere you go.
I know.
Like, oh, you're in Connecticut. We just saw you in Chicago. We're going to see you in Florida.
We just saw you in D.C. Yeah. Oh, my. It's been amazing. So I'm loving this. So get out. If you're a teacher, trainer, you're a prophetic chief prophet, a prophetic leader, an educator, meet me in Jacksonville. If you're there, hey, get a car. Rent a car. Make it a beautiful road trip. I'm telling economy, our country is still beautiful to drive through. We were driving through the Connecticut area, and I was like, oh, my goodness, this is just such a pretty state. You know, I like riding through pretty states. And so, and I do like flying, so let me, okay? Don't tell me, Dr. Price, we sent you a limo to take you 700 miles, because Dr. Price not going to get in the limo. No, that's what y'all saying. I don't care if it's a Humvee limo. I'm not getting in it, okay? I want to fly. Now, I won't even help you with that. I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, but beautiful countryside. So hop in the car. Get a bunch of people. Some of you all have Bible studies. Many of you have called my office and said, you know, we have no one to mentor us in the prophetic, so we get together ourselves. That's a good group to come and join us. It's a good group to get some validation and to get some additional impartation. So bring your family, bring your church pastors. You've got prophets budding in your church, and you're like, I do not know what to do with this crazy, mad person. Bring that person to Jacksonville. We know just what to do with them, exactly what to do with them. And we know how to help you develop them. Now, I want to say something to Pastor just quickly. You know, oftentimes because of the negative connotations of the prophetic, and, hey, some of this well-deserved bad reputation, pastors feel like they don't really have to shepherd their prophetic people. But a pastor shepherds the flock and the fivefold, because fivefold comes up out of you all's churches. It comes up. That baby apostle that's working your nerves right now is still your sheep, and you still are the one to nurture them. Now, you may not be the one to train them in the apostolic, but you are the one to make them feel safe as they explore it and move forward in it. So you are, and you're going to shepherd some prophets, you know. And not every prophet is born in a prophetic church. Some prophets are born in their prayer closets, you know. Others are born in the furnace of affliction. Hallelujah. But however way God gets you to it, it is wonderful to have a pastor. And, you know, you need that. If your pastor happens to be prophetic, yay, give God a praise. The Lord just started you out right away. If your pastor happens to be an apostle, woo, glory to Jesus, that's fine. But if not, they are still your shepherd, and you still need their nurturing. You need their affection, their attention. And I just want you to know, as God starts growing you up, that you do not have to come to the pastor and tell your pastor that their message is too infantile for you. It's too baby. Don't do that. You don't do it when you go to college. You don't go to college and come back to church and tell your pastor. Well, I don't know, some of y'all might, because some of the saints, whoo, bless the holy name of Jesus. Anyway, but that's not a wise way to do it, because what your pastor delivers in the area of your new creation spirit, your pastor touches, is very different from that ministerial side of you. You still have to be a good sheep. You'll never be a better shepherd than you were a sheep. You want to meet bad shepherds, you can understand they were really unruly and difficult sheep and couldn't wait to get from under the hands of the shepherd that they were in to go and prove to the world they could do it better, and they got it, and they didn't meet one in the beginning. But good, the shepherds that have been good sheep, I'm telling you, good sheep make good shepherds, and if that is their calling. So I want to, do not rise up against your pastor. Now, I'm speaking bound by the Spirit of God, and I'm actually speaking from the foresight of God, because this is God's foresight. He's saying, don't, you know, so somebody is standing in the mirror, or you're rehearsing an argument, you're rehearsing a tell-off with your shepherd. Don't do that. Because God honors his institutions. He honors his institutions. And until he removes that shepherd, he's going to honor that shepherd. And he's going to, literally, he's going to correct you and discipline you for rising up against him. Many Christians are in trouble today because you told your shepherd off. And you thought nobody was a witness, just you and your shepherd. Or you sent one of them little nasty mails that saints like to do. You know, we do believe in the beginning was the word. I got to tell you, we've been living up to that one. You know, not always great words, but scripture says, you know, how forceful are right words, correct words. So whoever you are, I want you to go to prayer, and I want you to admit to God that what you were planning to do is not in his best interest or yours. And I want you to repent and relent. Back down off that meeting. If you've already set the meeting, call and say something came up and I can't attend. If you feel compelled to attend the meeting, go to the meeting ready to bless your leader. You know, it's an interesting thing about, you know, people. Your pastor has however many sheep that are going to let him or her know what they feel. You only have one pastor to tell off. So you have to ask yourself if you're number 10 or number 50 or number 20, 1,000, 2,000, depending on the size of your church. But I want to tell you, stop that, because a lot of saints are under God's correction. You're not under judgment, but you are under discipline. And there is a difference between the two, because discipline is meant to teach you and train you for corrective purposes or for developmental reasons. Judgment is meant to punish you as a consequence of something that you brought into existence that killed your right standing in God for that moment. And you need to know the difference. And so a lot of saints, I can't get a job. And now you're going to tell your church where to go, so you can't get anybody to help you pray for a job. Okay? I'm getting put out of my home. Well, you've already told the intercessor that she knows nothing, and he can't hear from God, so, well, you can't go back there. See, many saints, when you're doing that, you don't realize you're killing your spiritual resources. You yourself, you're killing your spiritual resources. Those resources are meant to secure you and to give you your kingdom edge in everyday affairs. Well, you don't understand. My pastor don't know nothing. Then pray for somebody to come by who knows something who can help your pastor. You know, and then pray for you for being a little bit judgmental. Praise the holy name of the Lord. Or critical, you know. But you, some of you all, you're not moving in God because you killed your spiritual resources. You went out and you started church. You found a little dirty loft, a little dirty storefront, a dusty little place there someplace, and you took your kids, you know, and your grandma and your great uncle and auntie, and all of them are captive members, and they are sitting there listening to you work out how you proven to everybody that you didn't need a pastor and you knew as much as they did. And I'm telling you, that's normal human behavior, but it is the behavior of an immature saint. Because it's not until you get out there that you realize what you saw on Sundays was not all there is to do. So from Monday to Saturday, you were totally in the dark on what it takes to make something happen for God. Totally in the dark. And so if that's you, I want you to just take a minute and just sit down in a nice little place and say, you know, God, that's me. I didn't realize it was me. I thought I was right. But, God, I realized listening to this, I could have done things a lot differently. And, God, if I am responsible for abusing your leaders or breaching your church, God, I'm asking you to forgive me. I did not know it. And then listen for his instructions. He may tell you what to do next. He may tell you to go back and clean it up. He may tell you to take an offering. And if God tells you to go back and clean something up, take an offering. And not your bus fare. Take an offering. Because, you know, the Bible says a gift makes room for you, but we always think it's just a spiritual gift. No, a lot of natural gifts make room, which is why the world still uses them. Because there's no greater effort or at least appearance of sincerity then you take something from what is yours and break it off from your holdings and offer it as a gift, a peace offering. You know, we've gone away from peace offerings in the church. We offer peace offering to God. Who do you give it to? Your kids? Where are your peace offerings going in the Spirit of God, in the new creation church? Where do your peace offerings go? So I'm telling you, this month, October, we're going to call it the month of peace offerings. Make peace with people. You just need a peace offering. Make peace, and not just with the preacher. Don't just give your peace offering to the preacher. You've been tithing and offering to them all year long, and by all means, please don't stop. But there are people you need to make a peace offering with. Peace. Make peace. That's where God is right now. Make peace. because he needs you to recognize that he wants to resume your flow. But you yourself have cut yourself off from the legitimacy of his resources. And you've taken yourself out of the pool of the apportion or allotment, and you put yourself in the rank and file of the discipline. Don't you want to get out of the disciplinarian line? Some of you are still in detention in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost detention. He won't even let you go home. Can't get out. Some of you are on suspension. And a few are knocking on the door of expulsion. So let's fix that. You know, the thing I like about mature adults is this. Mature adults start with, how could I have done this better, and what can I do to make it right? That's a mature adult. Because a mature adult knows that there's more than one side to a story, and that oftentimes your emotional recall is inaccurate when it's laid against the intellectual facts or the actual facts. So I want to say to those who are sitting there, somebody sitting there just crying, God, I feel like I'm praying in the wind. God, I feel like I'm speaking to you from the Spirit of God, from the whole apostolic healing side. You know, one thing that people forget about apostles is that we're supposed to be curers. We are to cure your soul. Matthew 10, we are to cure your soul and your soul issues. And you're sitting there and you're saying, God, I'm so tired. Lord, I have prayed, I have fasted, I have gone to church, I have cleaned the church bathrooms, I have given offerings, I've done all of that. But God said, but you're doing all of that to appease the person that you didn't hurt. So God needs you to make peace. You know, make peace. In this last move, everything was about wipe the dust off your feet. Well, some of these people, you shouldn't have had dust on your feet, and they may have been the dust that was on your feet because you may have stepped on them. Let's go and make peace and take a peace offering. You know, well, Dr. Price, what's a good peace offering? Well, if you feel like it's a financial thing, fine. If you feel like it's a gift, especially if it was someone that you were close to, you can take a wonderful restoration gift. Offer it. Well, if they don't take it, then that's okay. Now you wipe the dust off because you went as a peacemaker and they cast you out. So if they cast you out as a peacemaker, your glory goes to God. But what if you regain your brother? What if you regain your sister? What if you regain your beloved pastor, the deacon, the elder, the sweet little lady on the door who just happened to say, praise God, at the time you just had a fight with your husband? All she said was, praise God, and you were off. But it wasn't her. You just had a fight with your kid, Father, so you're just snapping off at everybody. It happens. Guys, this is normal life on earth. We just don't let it stay in a bad place. And some of us are going to have to stop letting life stay in a bad place. Is this speaking to anybody right now? Because I want to know, are you hearing me? We're going to have to stop letting life, especially life relationships, stay in a bad place. Are you hearing me, Periscope? Facebook? I want to know that. Because if you can start taking control of the bad moments and not letting them stop at bad moments and not become bad monuments, you can move forward in God. Some of you all just have bad moments that turned into literally bad monuments. And all you can remember is the pain, the suffering, and how you felt, and what so-and-so did, and how you're never going to trust anybody again. Why do you think you have people walking around with church hurt? Those are unforgiving folks. Because you just need to go to another church and get healed. But it's better for you to walk around and make a monument of that bad moment. And that monument has turned to a burden on your back. You can't get a breakthrough no matter what you do. And so now your bitterness is intensifying, and it's increasing. And it's increasing with every moment. You're literally becoming your own self-fulfilling prophecy as you keep testifying of that agonizing moment and reinforcing it. You renew that agony every time you recall it. Stop letting your life stay stuck at bad moments. Is that not good counsel? You have to take charge. Your healing begins with you. I don't care what. You can have the best doctor in the world. If you don't follow the prescription, it doesn't matter. That doctor will still be the best doctor, and you'll still be a sick patient. But what if you just start acting on it? You know? You don't have to go home and just stay in the prayer closet whining and crying to God. Go fix it. Did I misunderstand? Is it possible that I jumped to conclusions? We as Christians are prone to do that. Snap judgments and jump to conclusions because that's what we do. Because here's why. You want to know why we do that? Because we have too much intake information and no external way to process it except when our emotions are inflamed. But we need to have a lot more love circles. Let's call them love and healing circles, where we just get together and begin to encourage one another and heal one another. You know, the body has to heal itself. A lot of us have gone outside of the body of Christ for healing and come back all patchwork, disconnected, disjointed. All of a sudden, you're allergic to Christians. I'm allergic to spiritual Christians. You just have to kid me. I'm just allergic to them. You know, and if they talk in tongues, oh my God, my allergies just there all over the place. Because you've been getting too much healing from foreign bodies, foreign food, foreign sources. But what if you came back to the body of Christ and began to get healed? You can heal yourself if you just stop testifying of those bad moments and take that monument down and in its place put up an altar of righteousness, the altar of Christ. We all need to do this. This is good boomerang discussion for myself, but you need to do it. You can heal your church instead of killing it. Christians get mad. The first thing we want to do is kill the church. Let's assassinate the church. I prayed that thing down. I just asked God to shut it down. I'm telling you. And then you got on the phone and you got yourself a little shutdown prayer group. And you prayed regularly to destroy this man's church because your feelings were hurt. Now, I would like you to say the next time your boss cusses you out, I want you to stand in the middle of the floor and say, I just shut this company down. I command everybody to get laid off. I want this entire company to die, and I'm going to kill it today, God, in Jesus' name. You're going to say, Lord, give me strength to forgive because I need my job. Isn't that how you do it? I'm sure that's how you do it. And, Lord, just give me a new boss. Or, Lord, just get me out of this department. Or, Lord, just give me a promotion. Or, Lord, just give me peace. You fight for the world's entities, and you fight this church to destroy it. And you think it's your idea, and it isn't. It is not your idea. Who? Ask yourself, who benefits if there's no more Christian churches on the planet? Nobody but the powers of darkness, and they're working feverishly to see to it that you help them because you take out a kingdom from within. So they infiltrate that church and drop all of these little questions. Did you hear that? I wonder what she meant by that. Did you hear that? I know he's preaching to you. Don't you know he's preaching to you? Yeah, he's preaching what you had in council this week. All the suspicion and that is all demonic. The wisdom of this world is sensual, self-centered, demonic, and full of envy. We forgot that. We forgot it. And so here's what we have to do. We have to come back and say, we don't treat our God or his possessions like that. And begin to say, we're not treating our God like this any longer. We're not going to trample underfoot the blood of Christ. We refuse to stomp on Jesus today. Today he won't get a stop from me. What if we got together and said, not today. Today we're not ripping off his arm. We're not going to gouge out his eyes. We're not going to pull out his liver. What if we do? What if we today decide we're going to take care of our God and take care of our Savior and take care of their precious possession in the earth? What if we decided to do that right now? And what if it started with us making peace And what if it started with you praying for your pastor who snapped at you because Sister So-and-so sent some nasty mail, and the pastor can't tell you about that, and they haven't had time to process through that wound? If you're in a prophetic church, you ought not to have splits and splinters, because you are to hear God's side of the story on every issue. If you're in an apostolic church, you ought not to have gashes and torn and rips in the garment of the house, because you ought to know firsthand what God's justice is in that matter and what his judgment is on it. Because these are two churches where the heavens are open and the communications channel is clearer than it's anywhere else. That clear heaven-to-earth communications channel is ready for you to tap in at any given point in time in prayer to say, Lord, I see what's going on. I heard what he said. I heard what she said. But now, Lord, tell me what's really going on. And then sit and listen. And don't answer it for him. Sometimes we ask God's question, and we're so afraid that he's going to give us the wrong answer, we answer it for him in our hearts. And then we let our hearts send it to our head and say it's the word of the Lord. But what if we stop tearing up our Heavenly Father's kingdom on earth? What if we just made up our mind, just because we're mature Christians, just because we've grown up, just because the church is not 2 years old any longer? What if we made up our mind? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. What if we made up our minds to repair the breaches, each one of us being a breach repairer? What would happen? Do you think each one of us did it? What would happen when Sister So-and-so starts telling you a piece of gossip that you know is intended to rip your church apart? What if you grabbed her hands and said, let me pray for you, because clearly your soul is hurting over this? What if you just grabbed her hands and prayed? What if you just grabbed Deacon Russell's hands and prayed? What if you just said, not just I'm going to pray for you tonight, let's pray now. And keep doing it, because you want deliverance for your members, for your leaders. What if you just prayed for your pastor? What if instead of that corrective mail we like to send, you sent encouraging mail? Let me tell you what you have done for my family, Pastor. Let me tell you what you've done for my children, my household, my job, Apostle. Let me tell you how you have blessed us, Prophet. These are frontline warriors. And frontline warriors make great targets, but they also are constant target practice. What if you did that? What if you did not pick at the praise and worship leader? What if you did that? I wonder how many months it would take for us to turn this thing around. Don't you? Don't you wonder how many months would it take for us to turn it around? How much healing would reverberate to your home? How much would the peace that you are issuing come back and live in your house? Would your children would stop fighting each other, stop getting in trouble, clashing at school? Blessed is the peacemaker. We have forgotten that. The peacemaker, the children of God. What if you became a serious, committed peacemaker because you are a child of the Prince of Peace? And what if you pastors stop spewing over the pulpit, stop using your pulpit as an alternative to healthy confrontation? What if you separated the sermon God wants you to preach from the correction God wants you to give a single person or a single group? What if you stop making it a blast affair, the issues that you don't like, and you sat down with your leaders and said, we need to take care of this. We need to correct some things. What if you did that? What do you think would happen? Do you realize that sometimes the people that you actually are blast, you know, correcting and blast accusing are the ones that don't even believe you're talking to them? Ellen, I know he's not talking to me. I know she's not talking to me because, after all, you know, those are the people that don't even get it because they're convinced they're right. So the self-righteous are never getting your blast announcement anyway. And the righteous ones are brutalized and wounded and scarred for what they don't know. What if the pulpit stopped giving everybody a single person's medicine? What if that happened? What if that happened? What if we did decide to heal the body ourselves? Prayer by prayer, forgiveness by forgiveness, compassion by compassion, understanding by understanding. What if we did that? What if we stop preaching to you that you don't matter and start telling you that you are so important to us because you are the reason we're in ministry and you're why we stay? What if we stop telling you that your pains and hurts are just ridiculous carnality and they don't matter? Start realizing that some of you are stronger than others and some of you are more wounded than others. What if we all took a piece of this assignment called heal the body and make peace with all? What would happen if we did that? I'm going to leave you with that thought because I think that's a good thought. What are some of my comments? Are my people talking to me?
Oh, yeah. Someone just said this would be a great Sunday service. We're in agreement about the call to maturity and being a breach repairer. And also commenting on just the sweetness, the sweet spirit of God that is accompanying this message tonight.
Yeah. Because he loves her.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, and much needed, if, you know.
A lot needed. Of, how about you on my Periscope side?
Yes, somebody just said, Selah. That's so good, Dr. Price. That was, they're just, I mean, that it's a great teaching. Good to hear. Some people were saying that they're actually going through this right now and that this word was right on target for them.
Well, I feel like, you know, our Father wants to get back into our lives, and he wants to get back into our business and in a rich way, not just in a custodial way. Most of us are living on God's custodial care. He's honoring his obligation. He's fulfilling his responsibilities. Those of us who are parents and providers, we know what it's like for people to put us in a place there where all we do is just honor our responsibilities, pay our bills, put food on the table, but all of the extras that we're praying for, all of the extras that would celebrate our relationship, we aren't able to do that because the relationship is not all that celebratory. And God wants to get back to celebrating you and not just being a custodian of your life on earth. He wants to bless you abundantly, not just obligingly. And we're getting God's obliging blessings because we're his kids. He loves us. He's our God. We don't have another God. He's our Father. But some of you can tell me, and I bet you can describe it, the difference between what I'm saying. Being under the custodial care of God. You don't get put out of your house, but all you can do is afford it. Okay? You don't get laid off, but your pay just doesn't stretch. Doesn't even meet your needs. Forget your wants. You know, well, you know, your disease is not gone. It's just being managed. Your children are still home. They're nice kids, but they're not where they ought to be. You go to work every day. You work hard, and you're like a phantom. Nobody sees the work you do. It's almost like you're cloaked in life. You cry out for help. You cry out for attention. You cry out for justice and fair play. And it's as if you're screaming into a grave. But you're still here. Bless God. You're still here. And no matter what you do, you can't seem to get beyond that custodial band on your life. Because God is honoring his word. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. But don't you want to go beyond him not forsaking you? Wouldn't you like to find out what it's like to have him just not just love on you in church or just give you a deep affection so you can weather the next storm? Wouldn't you like to do more? Because there's so much more. There is so much more God has for us. He thinks about us constantly, but he cannot reward our craziness. He can't reward wickedness. Because he can't. Here's what I want you to understand. God cannot give you mixed signals. He can't give you mixed signals. I don't care how wealthy a preacher is. If they're in sin, they are living off of another care. It's not God. Because in the end, God's got to balance the books. For his people, he's got to balance the books. For those of us who are looking on, he has to balance the books. God is not going to send mixed signals. That's just the way it is. And so you have to recognize that he'll continue to take care of you. He's going to keep your children safe to the best of the capacity of your relationship, because every relationship has different capacities. He's going to keep your children safe, you know. He's going to make sure that you have the near misses so you don't get hit when the enemy tries to take you out. But that stuff you really need him to do, that extra, you know. I don't understand why my kids can't have a decent holiday, a decent Christmas or whatever, because God's got you in custodial mode. If five people said I'm going to get healed and I haven't gotten healed yet, you need to ask God why. And when we start talking about real deliverance and real healing, I'll be able to explain to you why that's happening. But you've got to get to a place where you become a peacemaker and cease to be a lawbreaker. Because the law has tribulation. It comes with judgment. It comes with turbulence. God's got to balance the scale. And you have to. The mature Christian, and I know we have a lot of them listening on my shows and these broadcasts. You all have been amazing. But, you know, mature Christians, stop asking God to baby them and begin to ask God to mature them. I want to grow up. I want to grow up in you. I want to be a good, not just a good Christian, but I want to be a beneficial and helpful son and daughter. I want to be able to enjoy my relationship with you, Father. I was saying to the church I was ministering in Sunday, again, I thank Apostle Suzanne Howard and the Apostles' House for receiving me so royally. I mean, it was just a wonderful time. We had a blast there, and I want to thank you and just send you my love, Apostles' House and Hartford, Connecticut. But I was saying to them that you have to get to a point in your relationship with God where it's not all about you. We say it's all about God, and then we pray as if it's all about us. But you have to get to a point, and many of you are getting there. I see it in the spirit, that you realize God has needs too. He has a type of relationship he wants with you. His type of fellowship and communion that he wants with you. He does. He really does. I say to God sometimes, you know, because people like to taunt me because I don't do this and I don't do that. And, you know, you have to realize that taunting comes from two people, immature Christians, hallelujah, and vengeful devils. That's it. Because balanced people just say, hey, if that's the way God, that's the way you live your life, hey, have at it. Christians just say, if that's what God called you to do, then do it. God called some people to be Nazarites because we don't read the Old Testament. We don't know what that is. God called some people to be sanctified in a special way. He called some people to be consecrated. And we can't move about the family without criticism because somebody wants to say we're legalistic. And I have to say, so you're lawless. So you're a lawbreaker. So you have to start calling it what it is. When they start saying you're legalistic, then you're telling me you're a lawbreaker. So you're lawless. So now, are we going to have a tit-for-tat lawless, lawful contest? I just want to figure it out. And so I say that. I said, but you know what? I'm at a point where going to heaven or hell is not my issue. I'm in. Me in heaven, we're there. Got my seat. It's all set. It's wonderful. They're waiting for me. I'm there. That's not our issue. My issue is there are certain things that I don't want in God's mind concerning me. There are certain pictures I don't want in his mind concerning me. There are certain memories I don't want him to have to relive and recall concerning me. I just don't want that for him. Are there things that you don't want for the Lord just by virtue of your relationship with him, by virtue of your intimacy? We like to say we're intimate with God, and then we're calling all of the shots. We're intimate with God. He can't tell us how to dress. He can't tell us what to eat. He can't tell us what friends to have. He can't tell us what movies he would prefer we didn't watch. He can't tell us what restaurants or relationships we shouldn't have. He can't tell us how much we can hang out. He can't tell us anything. But we're intimate with God. Now, if you had that kind of intimate with your spouse, you'd be in divorce. So many of you are. Ah, got that. But there are things I just don't want to do to the Lord. I just don't want to do them. And I don't want to have a debate with you about how much I love my God and how sweet it is to love him and how undeserving he is of that kind of behavior. He's undeserving of that. That's like somebody having to come home every day to a screaming, mean, nasty, vile, hateful person for no reason and can't go anywhere else. A lot of us, that's God's experience. Vile music, nasty songs, vulgar talk, crass joking, you know, all of that. He's got to live with that every second of every day. And you know what? I don't want to do that to him. I could, but I don't want to. All things are lawful for us. But when you're in love with someone, you don't break the law of love code. And the love code is preferring above yourself, is choosing to suffer rather than hurt, to hurt another. See, the love code is a different thing. When love is your law, then a lot of the arguments we have just wouldn't be. You realize that there are people who love their children and call beating them, burning them, and whatever, love, because their love is destructive. And they call that. There are spouses who do that with their mates all the time. I'm slapping you because I love you. No, baby, I don't feel love when you slap me. I'm going to tell you right now, I feel pain, and I can't reconcile that kind of bruises on my face and love from your heart. I can't find that somewhere. But there are people who believe it. But would you know that there are a lot of that is what Christians do to God all the time? We abuse him and tell him it's love. We neglect him and tell him it's because we love him. We ignore him, despise him. We actually shun him. We don't want people to know that we are his. And we say, but we love you, Jesus, and you understand. But what if we were real mature Christians and decided to grow up and say, we don't do our God like that? What if that was the rule of the house? We don't treat our God like that. Not our God. Now, you can do what you want to do with yours, but in this house, spiritual or natural, we don't treat our God like that. And we never will. And I think that once you start realizing what it's like, as I move into discussing the apostolic Christian, once you start realizing that, your home is going to be sweet. You feel the Spirit right now? That's what God wants in your house every day. That sweetness. He wants to feel warm and fuzzy with you. He wants you to have a very cozy, silky environment with him. Because God is love. But how often do we feel it? We're always dealing with his duties, his obligations, his rod, his staff. When we're hardly ever dealing with his heart. You know, there's a passage in Deuteronomy 5. It's Deuteronomy 5:12, and it's one of my earlier passages. Let's hope I can find it quickly. But I remember when I was learning the Lord and I wanted to so get him, because I always wanted to crawl up in him. I told God, you saved me. I am yours forever, and you better be ready because I'm not letting you go, and I'm going to be all up in you. And you need to get used to that idea. And I told him, you need to be very glad that you are invisible and in heaven, because I'll be all over you like another layer of skin. You won't have a breathing moment without me. You can call me, if you call me codependent, they can call me for that. You can call me whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you the truth. What Jesus calls me is deeply in love with him. And that's what he wants you to be, deeply in love with him. Oh, hallelujah. I think it's that because, you know, I'm reading another kind of verse of the Bible, but he has a statement in there that said, oh, if there was a heart in you, if they had a heart to love me and fear me all their days. I'm going to try to find it because I think we all need to read this one together. As soon as I can figure out why this is doing it. All right. I want you to go with me here because it's too important. Deuteronomy. I like Deuteronomy. It's like one of my favorite books because it's like a crash course in the Lord. You know, God says all the time, Deuteronomy 5:29. I got it. Deuteronomy 5:29, powerful phrase. So I'm going to read this as I begin to wind this down. He said, you know, here's when the people didn't want to hear God directly any longer. They thought, okay, Moses, you go and you hear from God and you come back and tell us. We're afraid that if we hear his voice, we'll die. Okay, the man has brought him through the sea, through the wilderness, everything, but all of a sudden he's going to turn on him and kill him. And so 27 said, 28, I'm sorry, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have said well what they have spoken. But this is what God's heart was, his heart response. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Listen to this, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And then he says to Moses, but as for you, you stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess. Deuteronomy 5:29. Can we get a heart that fears him and not dreads him? See, sometimes we take the dreads out of fear. Well, I don't want to go and ask God because he might say no. Well, I don't want to go to God because then I'm going to have to stay up. I'm so sleepy. And we approach him dragging our feet like a grudging kid instead of just saying, you know what? I have a great opportunity to talk to the Lord. I was saying today in my kitchen as I was having lunch, I said, you know, God, I said, it still boggles my mind that the God of all creation, that most of the planet is trying to figure out if he is, lives in me. Walks in me, talks in me, and cares about me. He's going to tell me where my hairpin is. I can't find my hairpin. He's going to tell me where the hairpin is. He's going to tell me where my other shoe is. He's going to help me find the keys to this and the lock to that. I mean, that's a rich relationship. I know God can heal my body, but the fact that he cares about a hairpin, come on, somebody. That's amazing. And he knows where it is, and he cares. Because he can be himself in my house. He can be whatever he wants to be. If he had a breakout tantrum, I'd just try to figure out how to calm him down. Okay, sweetheart, we got to work on this, Lord Jesus. But I don't care because it's sweet. And God wants to be in your house like that. He said, I want to bring my sweetness unto you. not just my riches and not just your debt relief. I mean, it's kind of like he's always locked in some sort of obligation, debt relief, bill pay, you know, okay, make me feel good, help me run the light, help me not have to hit the stoplight, don't let the cop give me a ticket because I keep running the stoplight, all of that kind of stuff. But what if it was just, what if we had a day that it was just about Jesus? Lord, it's about you today. What do you want? God wants to heal souls. He wants to save souls. He wants to recover families and restore homes. He wants to rebuild lives. He wants to set captives free. He wants you to partner with him as a mature son and daughter. He wants to tell you the things that are on his mind, not just listen to you ramble on for days and days and say goodnight, Lord, after you had your say. He wants to reveal some thoughts to you. Oh, we're going to come into a good time, people of God. Well, Prophet Ashley, I'm going to let you speak into this as a prophetic voice.
I think it's very timely, for sure. You know, as the body of Christ is growing up and acting Christ-like, we don't really know what that means in so many ways. But choosing the high road. Peace is the high road, and peace and sucking it up in silence are not the same thing.
No, they aren't.
At all. And when people hear peace, sometimes they'll lead toward, oh, fine, so I'm not supposed to say anything, so I'm supposed to let somebody beat me down. That's not peace. But it is a maturity, a responsibility, and an option that we rarely choose or even think is an option. and dealing with the body of Christ and dealing with our leaders. I really appreciate how you talked about that in dealing with leadership in your life and the difference in how we deal with the church. How we do say, well, God can shut it down, or I can go to any church I want or whatever. I'm going to take my tithes, take my talent, and go somewhere else. And we don't say that about our job. In fact, the job can be unjust. The boss can cut you out, and you pray every day.
Change your heart, Lord. Change your heart.
Lord, let me not get the pink slip. I don't want them to make it cut. It can't be me. It can't be me. It can't be me. It can't be me. And that venom that we have against the body of Christ.
And against Christ.
Yes, against him personally. And we don't realize you're going to take it out on his church. Take it out on his leaders. Because you can't take it out on him. And who really wants to admit that you really want to tell God off? What we really. And they just do it through the leaders. Like when somebody really wants to go off on your kid, but it won't look right.
So they
show your child up and tell you off.
Tell you off.
And instead, and that's really what we do with God's ministers and having that responsibility, but also giving keys to fixing breaches in life. A lot of times we do things against our fellow brethren, against our leaders, that puts us in a position where God has to judge us. And it doesn't matter how right we think we are, we have slid off into unrighteousness. And then the fruit of unrighteousness begins to pop up in our lives, and we don't know why. And you have to go back and fix that so you can be in upright standing before God is back into his righteousness, not our righteousness, because according to us, I was right. You didn't know how Minister Gore looked at me. I mean, you didn't know. She told me I didn't appreciate her tone. She's always constant. And so, boom, you're down the street, and you have gotten angry and sinned a lot and have to now go back and fix that and take responsibility, take ownership. And like you said, if your overture, genuine overture of forgiveness is thrown back in your face, door slammed, whatever, you have done right. And it's no longer on you. But if you don't feel like it's your job
to ever fix it,
then you're going to stay in that posture. God does. He honors offices. He honors stations. But he honors what he says in the Word.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, you haven't said anything that isn't in Scripture. Old, new, and how you said that, let me see. What would happen if we repaired the breach? We'd have to write a new book. Church hurt with no one's done.
Come on, girl.
We have to correct. Come up with a new theme, because I tell you what, when it comes to pain and suffering, boy, we can pop out a thing, write out a miniseries, do some movies, and do whatever on how we don't even need the world to talk about the church.
No, we're giving the world We're giving them script.
We're giving them script. We are our own bad press.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to exploit. We are going to be the ones to tell it first, tell it loud, put mm-hmm. it on the show, and do whatever. And we don't need anybody else to do that. But what would happen if each person did? Okay, you know what? My brother has gone against me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go fix it and see why.
Mm-hmm.
And not wait. Well, I'm just waiting for Ms. Normie. I've been waiting for her for 6 months to come and fix this. Now,
mm-hmm.
months have moved on.
Mm-hmm.
They, like you said, when you said 10 months, were you doing that blast fell off? The person you meet is
they're like, I'm
all good. Amen. They're like, yeah, damn. That's fine for you guys. Make it like, I'll see what you
but want. You're who I'm talking to. Prophetic Ed, I love you much. Be at peace.